record, this is the Senate State Affairs Committee hearing. Today's March 1st, 2012. Time is about 9:04 in the morning. We have with us Senator Kukesh, Senator Geisel, Senator Meyer, myself, Wilkowski. I expect Senator Pasfan to join us any minute. We have two bills before us today. The first is Senate Bill 198, which provides police officers with improved due process procedures when faced with disciplinary actions and provides better protection of their personal information, such as their home addresses. Second bill is Senate Bill 29, which calls for greater transparency, accountability, and evaluation of state tax credits, deductions, exclusions, deferrals, and other indirect forms of state spending. We'll begin with Senate Bill 198. As I mentioned, the intent of this bill is to provide police officers and other public safety personnel with many of the same due process protections available to other public employees. I've asked T.J. Presley, an intern in my office, to present the bill. T.J., could you come forward? Welcome to the State Affairs Committee. If you could put yourself on the record, give us an overview of the bill.
Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to present SB 198. The intent of this bill is to ensure that those public servants, especially those entrusted with protecting Alaskans, are afforded due process protections when facing allegations of misconduct. First, SB 198 allows for suspension of a police officer's certificate. Currently, Alaska law does not provide for suspension. It only allows for the Alaska Police Standards Council to revoke them. Revocation of a license has severe consequences. An officer may no longer practice in the state and, for all intents and purposes, loses their livelihood as a result. Suspension is one way to discipline yet retrain officers. Section 2 sets the standards for revocation of an officer certification at clear and convincing. Section 3 makes it unlawful to suspend or revoke a certificate or refuse to grant one based on disciplinary action against the officer that has been reversed or removed. Section 4 adds court officers to the definition of police officer. These court service officers already perform the functions of certified officers. They carry guns, make arrests, and serve warrants. Including these people under the definition of police officers will make for streamlined training and liability. Section 5 prohibits an employer from discriminating against police officers in the case that an officer refuses to take a lie detector test. Studies have shown that the results of a polygraph can vary greatly based on environment. One study by the Office of Technology Assessment found that, quote, although the polygraph instrument itself is essentially the same for all applications, the purpose of the examination, type of individual tested, examiner testing, setting of the examination, and types of questions asked, among other factors, can differ substantially. The instrument cannot itself detect deception. Section 6 allows for a police officer to refuse taking a lie detector test. It makes that decision confidential. It may not be recorded on the police officer's personnel file or employment record. Section 7 makes photographs and home addresses of police officers confidential unless an officer voluntarily authorizes to its release. Instances of police being stopped because of the public availability of this information have been recorded. This section would make it harder for those seeking to harm officers and their families to gain this information. Finally, Section 8 repeals a section in current statute that exempts police officers from protections against taking a lie detector test. And I am available for any questions that the committee may have related to SB 198.
Thank you, Thomas, TJ. Could you tell the committee, are you aware of other states that allow for suspension other than just revocation of a police certificate?
Through the chair, there are currently 11 other states that allow for suspension of a certificate.
And then are you aware of other states that provide the similar type of polygraph protections for police officers?
Through the chair, there are four other states that provide for polygraph protections for police officers not taking a polygraph test.
Okay, thank you. Other questions by committee members? Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The court service officers, I have some questions there. So it sounds like this would require additional training for those court officers, those court service officers. Is that true?
Through the chair, Senator Diesel, I have not heard from the department whether or not it would require more training, but one of the benefits of doing what we're doing in SB 198 is putting those court service officers under an already existing training program that exists to certify police officers, state troopers, and a variety of others. So the training is already there, and they would now just be brought into the Police Standards Council purview to allow them to be trained.
Okay. Do you think this would qualify them for pay increment? You know, what kind of ramifications are we talking about here?
Through the chair, Senator Diesel, I don't know that I can speak necessarily okay. confidently, not being part of the Department of Public Safety to ramifications, but I do know that it would just include them as police officers for the things that they already do.
Okay.
Good question for the department when they come up.
Could I ask one other question,
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair? This pertains now to the personal information being confidential. Do you know if there are other public officials or public servant type roles that do have confidential information, the personal information is confidential? Do you know if there are any others?
Through the chair, Senator Diesel, I will get back to you on that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, and we'll let the record reflect we've been joined by Senator Pasman. Senator Kukesh has a question.
A couple of questions. Are the police officers before they're employed subject to a polygraph test?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, yes, they are.
Okay, so they would get a polygraph test before they're employed. So the question here that we were talking about in front of us is after they're employed and being part of their employment process that we're saying, well, you already have one when you were before you were employed. We don't think that there should be a need for another one.
Through the chair, Senator Lokowski, or Senator Kukesh, the language right now, there is a possibility that the pre-employment polygraph test may be covered by the statute, but I believe that there has been conversation about making sure that pre-employment polygraph testing is still allowed while not allowing for post-employment.
Yeah, I could see the difference. Excuse me. I'll follow up. See the difference because once you're employed, the question then rises whether they should be subject to another one.
Right.
I see. Could I follow up with
yes,
another question? The University of Alaska have officers on their campus for security. Are they covered by this? I don't know, but I'm just thought I'd check with you.
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, they are certified. Yeah.
Okay, and last question. What kind of opposition have you seen to this bill, if any at all?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, we received opposition in terms of implementation from the Department of Public Safety in terms of back pay that may result from issues when a police officer is terminated, but then the decision is not made to revoke their license. So there are possible issues of if they are terminated, but then their license is not revoked, if they go back to work, will there be issues of having to pay them back pay and make them whole again?
I see. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Other questions? Okay, we've got a number of people signed up to testify. Let's go to public testimony. And okay, let's go, while we're waiting for the list of people in the room, let's go to Tom, the off-nets. We've got Tom Clemens from Seward, who's the director of the Alaska Association of Chiefs of Police. Mr. Clemens, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair and the committee members, and I welcome this opportunity to provide some testimony on this bill. Just a little brief history. I've been in law enforcement for almost 40 years now. As a matter of fact, I began my law enforcement career when Senator Bill Ray finally got the Senate Bill 1, which is the Alaska Police Standards Council bill, passed as I started my law enforcement career. So I've been around for a long time and watched this watched APSC grow through the years and get better as they went on. I'm going to take a little different approaches because I know the executive director is going to have some talking points, but I wanted to tell you on my side of it and the fact that the Alaska Chiefs Police Association opposes this bill a lot. APSC is a great organization that that supplies us with training and training thing, training ideas and what have you, and they're always there to be there to help make us keep us on a professional matters so we're always looking good to everybody and doing our job professionally. Additionally, Alaska Police Standard Council helps us in our liability issue and our liability insurance, because if we prescribe to their current ways of doing business, that's how my particular Alaska Municipal League, my particular insurance people look at how we, the liability part of our, not liability, but the premiums part of our insurance is if we participate and follow their rules. And when one of the, and, you know, I just keep thinking back over the years when this bill was originally presented, that it was never designed to have outside influences come in and try to tell Alaska Police Standard Council how to do their job. And for a very good reason for that, because it was independent of everybody else. It was independent of the state. It was independent of other influences that we probably don't want to have. We have wonderful police officers in this state. Every once in a while we have something that's not correct, and somebody needs to take care of that, just like you would if we had a bad medical physician out there and he was licensed to provide medical services and his license had to be taken away because of some wrongdoing on his part. The Alaska Police Standards Council has provided the police department over the last 40 years with more professional police officers and more better way of doing our business to satisfy the public. I often think I was on the Alaska Police Standards Council and we did decertifications and stuff, and I was actually one part of the review committee. I will tell you that we took those things serious. We were an independent group looking at those, and it was very difficult to decertify somebody if they didn't reach the level of decertification. And I know for a fact that there were some decertification requests that came in with some communities for whatever reason that thought that they reached the level of decertification. We decided as a group that it did not, and so we sent it back saying, you will have to deal with it, excuse me, you'll have to deal with this as an employment issue, but certainly not as a reputation issue with the Alaska Police Standard Council. The big thing here is APSC wants to make sure that we provide professional police officers to the state of Alaska. You know, I often say, you know, what we do is dangerous, but the more important thing of what we do is when it's honorable. And if we have to maintain that statute so that people in the state of Alaska trust us. Which brings me to a statement that was made to me years ago. In fact, it was made during an Alaska Police Standard Council meeting. And this gentleman, who was a public member, stood up and said this, that person, that comes to my front door that's wearing a uniform, that wants access to my family now, I have to know that I can trust this man. I have to know that he's a professional police officer and I can trust him to have access to my family. When he said that, and I just looked at the rest of the council and I said, you know, if we never heard anything else, we need to listen to that gentleman because he just said it right on. And I lived by that all these years, and I really, again, Alaska Chiefs of Police opposes changes to the Alaska Police Standard Council. It is an independent organization out there to help make sure that we have professionalism in our police departments and also make sure we don't have police officers who should not be police officers out there.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Questions? Yes, Senator Kukesh.
This is Senator Kukesh. I wonder, thank you for your testimony. If you could tell me, what process do you use in Alaska Association of Chief of Police to make a decision to oppose a bill like this? Is it in a convention setting? Is it in a council meeting? You have an executive committee? How does that work?
We'll have our board gather up and decide to do this. I've talked to most of my board and they all agree that we knew about this bill the last time a similar bill was presented and we were all against it then. and we're all against it now.
I'm just wondering if there was a process. Do you make a motion to oppose it and you vote on it, or how does that work?
We haven't gotten to that point yet, to be honest with you. I just found out about this bill yesterday, but I know that I had to talk to a couple of my board members who said we need to get on that. And had I've been out of whack for here because I had emergency heart surgery here the end of January, so I've kind of been out of the loop here for a little bit. But we had to, we wanted to get right on this when we heard this was out there.
Well, I'm just curious, and I appreciate it, not to be disrespectful or anything, but it's hard for me to imagine an association coming out with an opposition when you haven't even had a meeting or had a chance to have your full board discuss it. But thank you for the information.
Thank you. I've got a couple questions for you, Mr. Clemens. Are there, I don't know if you've had a chance to read the bill. There's nine sections. Are there specific sections that you disagree with or any sections that you do agree with?
Yes, there are some sections, but I'll mention them briefly here because I know they're going to be brought up at basically in section one, let me just get back on this on my thought here.
I can briefly summarize. Section one gives you the option of suspending rather than revoking, and I would think there are. Faced with the decision of either revocation, which is essentially the death penalty for an officer, you're taking away his livelihood or her livelihood. They can no longer be an officer in the state of Alaska. I would think that faced with that option, that would give you more options. You may find situations where someone commits a one-time offense. It's not something you want to give them the equivalent of the death penalty for, but maybe you want to suspend them to send a message. I would think that would give you more options rather than take away some sort of authority from you.
Yeah, certainly it'd give us more options, give APSC more options. However, I remember looking back over the time that I was in council, most of the decertifications we had more serious offenses. So, but I agree with you, they would give more options. And you know, we have reciprocal agreements with other states in the lower 48 to recognize our decertification program as well as we would recognize theirs, if you didn't know that.
Right. If you take away someone's livelihood here in Alaska, you're taking it not only from Alaska but probably from many other states in the country. So. I would just urge you to maybe go back and reconsider your opposition to Section 1, or think about it anyway. I don't know that and it doesn't require that you suspend. It just simply gives you the option to suspend. As far as Section 2, this simply says that if you're going to essentially give the equivalent of the industrial death penalty to someone, you do it by clear and convincing evidence. Is that a standard that you think shouldn't apply?
Well, I believe we do that now. I mean, I was on the review committee for decertifications, and I can tell you I spent hours on some of these cases looking them over and over again and making sure that it reached, that they were serious enough to reach that level of decertification. And there were times, and more than a few, where I just made a decision and recommended to the rest of the board that these this did not reach that level, and that it was an employment issue, and it was not a licensing issue at all. And so, I mean, I took it as well as the other two review committee members. We took this serious, and we never backed down from the responsibility of making sure we made the right decision here, because we knew exactly what this decision would lead to. And you're right, it is sort of a death sentence, and. But on the other hand, if we have an officer out there that has violated the trust of the public in it to a level of decertification, I think we need to follow through with that.
And I would agree with you completely. No one wants rogue officers out there. I don't think there's a single person in the legislature that does. But by the same token, we don't want to be taking away licenses unless we have some standard of proof. And if you're already doing clear and convincing evidence for for the non-lawyers, that you've got essentially three standards of proof. You've got preponderance of the evidence, which is the lowest level. You've got clear and convincing, which is sort of a middle level, and you've got beyond a reasonable doubt, which is what they use in criminal cases. And this is saying, you're saying that you're already using clear and convincing. So I don't. Can you explain to me why putting that in statute would be a bad thing?
Are we still on section one
two.
Now,
no,
Senator? I'm sorry.
Now we're in section two.
Section two. I believe Alaska Police Standard Council, nothing's changed from when I left Alaska Police Standard Council some years ago, and I go to every one of their meetings, and I'm not privy to what goes on in executive session anymore, but I can tell you that when I was there, that unless it reached the level of decertification, we would not entertain that level of decertification, and we just said it didn't reach there. So I think they're already doing that.
Okay. And then as far as Section 3 goes, Section 3 simply says if you have an arbitration case where that's been reversed, you can't rely on you've got to give some deference to that. And is that something you have a problem with?
Well, I do have a problem with that because we need to remember that if you have a collective bargaining decision, that may not have nothing. That may be the way they terminated an employee, maybe the way they disciplined the employee, but it may not have anything to do with the actual action of what that employee did. It may, and that's what Alaska Police Standard Council looks at. Certainly, if you didn't follow personnel procedures the way you through progressive discipline or some other issues like that, I mean, I understand that. I mean, I'm a chief. I truly understand that, and a former trooper as well. So I get all that. But sometimes, well, more than sometimes, and we're, like APSC is not interested in how the city proceeded through their termination deal. If it had to do with all that, what we're interested in is what that officer did, or what APSC is interested in is what that officer did, and did that reach the level of decertification or not? And if it did, that's completely separate from a bargaining standpoint.
Okay. Other questions by the committee? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you, Mr. Clemens. We appreciate your testimony.
And I appreciate you letting me have the time. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Committee.
Okay, let's come back to the room. We've got Dave Sexton signed up. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. My name is Dave Sexton. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Police Standards Council. Thank you for this opportunity this morning. Senate Bill 198 impacts the current policy and procedures of the Alaska Police Standards Council and the current hiring retention practices of some law enforcement agencies. Let me just recap the mission of the Alaska Police Standards Council. The mission of our council is to produce and maintain highly trained and positively motivated professional officers capable of meeting contemporary law enforcement standards of performance. We provide certain core services to the citizens of the state of Alaska. What we view our core services are, in cases of misconduct by a certified police officer, we make a determination whether certification should be revoked. We monitor compliance with current regulations and legislation. We develop, monitor, and revise law enforcement training. We assist academies and departments with funding for academy training. We fund specialized and advanced training for our police departments. We determine certificate eligibility for all police, probation, and correctional officers and issue the appropriate level of certification. We provide pre-employment polygraph and psychological testing for smaller agencies across the state. Senate Bill 198 directly affects, specifically by neutering, several of our core services. Please keep our ability to provide these services to the people of Alaska in mind as you contemplate this proposed bill. I have three main concerns over the provisions of this bill. Let's talk first about certification. In this state, as in most states, you need to earn a certificate in order to possess and wield police powers. Our process certifies that you have the education, training, and moral fiber to do the job as the legislators have seen fit to define it. At any one time, we have about 3,000 sworn officers in this state. This bill wants to inhibit and intervene with our ability to, if necessary, decertify an officer. While we consider the ability to decertify an errant official critical to our mission and goals, it is a scalpel in our tool belt, not a chainsaw. In the past 10 years, only 63 officers have lost their certificate due to council action. And a third of those were voluntarily surrendered by the officer. Let me repeat that. 3,000 sworn officers in the state, 40 of them had their certificates taken away from them by council action over a 10-year period. Possible misconduct is reported to APSC staff, which fully investigates the matter, and only if we find it appropriate is the matter given to full counsel, which again reviews all of the facts before taking action. And if the officer desires, counsel action can be further appealed through the court system. The council is made up of 13 members, handpicked by the governor and affirmed by the legislature. They are police and correctional management, line officers and union members, and citizens at large. You could not ask for a more balanced, knowledgeable, trustworthy board whose primary mission is the protection of the citizens of Alaska. This bill is a solution in search of a problem. By removing our independence and autonomy and making our decisions subservient to those of court officers hearing employment issues and questions, not certification standards, you are killing fully half of the core services the Alaska Police Standards Council provides to citizens of Alaska. Issue two revolves around the use of polygraphs and other truth verification devices. Right now, both Alaska and federal labor law recognizes the special relationship and trust between the citizens and their law enforcement officers, and allows the use of polygraphs in both pre-employment and investigative situations. The ability to use this tool is so important, it is specifically mentioned in the Police Standards Core Services preamble I read at the beginning of my testimony. This bill is again attempting to ungainly legislate and regulate via castration with a dull knife. If you Google any of the main news service engines with the words Alaska, police, and polygraph, you get exactly zero hits. I am not aware of even a single recent decertification decision that hinged on a polygraph test. If truth verification of police officers in Alaska is causing a problem, nobody seems to know it. Finally, this bill demands that departments cease supplying photographs of our officers and actions in the performance of their duties. I don't know if many of you remember this picture. This picture went viral a few months ago, last August. This is Doug Knutson. He's a friend of mine. He is on the Joint Surf Rescue Team in Long Beach, Washington. This picture went around the world last August. It was featured on the news of every major network and in thousands of newspapers. Doug and his partners pulled his 12-year-old boy out of the surf after being underwater for 20 minutes. The world watched and prayed for several days, staying with the story until the young man, who survived, recovered and finally went home from the hospital. Doug was part of my team when I was police chief in Long Beach. If the language in this bill passes, and Doug was one of my officers here in Alaska, I would be forbidden to share this picture with you or anybody else. The language in this bill goes against every tenet of community policing we have tried to put in place for the last two decades. If adopted, I can no longer show pictures of my officers receiving a check from the local Rotary to go towards Special Olympics, and I can no longer hang the photos of my officers in the lobby of my police department or city hall. I want my community to know who my officers are. That is how you build community support, trust, and cooperation. The Alaska Police Standard Council opposes this bill in its entirety. Thank you for the opportunity to present the council's views on this proposed legislation. I'm at your service for questions.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service on the council. Questions by the committee? I guess I'll ask you similar questions. Just I don't know if you have the bill in front of you.
I do.
Just looking at Section 1, is that giving you the option of suspending rather than revoking a certification? Is that something that you oppose, your group opposes?
Section 1 does a couple of things. Section 1 does talks about suspension. More importantly to us, Section 1 talks about the filing of an accusation, hearing, or decision under a separate employment hearing. We have to follow that decision. That's the big part of Section 1 to us. Okay, if a hearing officer in a hearing, in a grievance procedure, hears a case, comes up with a decision, Section 1 is forcing us to make our decision consistent with that decision. As Chief Clements spoke earlier, one of the strength of the Alaska Police Standards Council is that we are an autonomous body. We are totally independent unto ourselves. We get recommendations. Every time an officer is terminated in this state, we are required to get paperwork from the department that does that termination. And on that paperwork, there's boxes that are checked. Was the officer terminated with cause, under investigation? Does the hiring agency recommend decertification? We absolutely take that into accord. We absolutely look at that. We look at that recommendation. We do not follow that recommendation. I had a case on my desk just very, very, very recently where an officer was terminated for sleeping on duty, and the department recommended decertification. We decided sleeping on duty was not a decertification type of issue, so we did not follow up on that. So we take hiring agency recommendations under advisement. We take hearing officer decisions under recommendation. We take newspaper articles. We take statements. We take our investigations under recommendations. We take a whole gamut of things under investigations, but we don't have to follow specifically any of them. We're not told that if the hearing officer decides this, you will follow it. You know, we are independent, and Section 1 takes that independence away from us. That's why we're against Section 1.
Senator Passman has a question.
Well, I guess I'm a little troubled because Section 1 on line 11 says may. In other words, it doesn't take away or mandate anything. It just says the council may.
Okay, but what it does say, you're right, Senator, but it says may follow the filing of an accusation, hearing, or decision under Alaska statute, revoke the certificate of a police officer. I may revoke,
right,
if revocation is consistent with that decision. I only get the may if I'm doing what I'm told by this other body. It doesn't say I may do it taking that into account. It says if revocation is consistent. So, yes, I may revoke, but only if I'm doing what the hearing officer said I could. But it totally takes it out of my hands then.
Well, I guess I disagree with that, but I guess following your example of the officer, if I may, Mr. If the officer sleeping on the job, you said that there was a decision that said the officer did that wrong, sleeping on the job. You determined that you didn't believe that the officer should be decertified. This language says that you may have revoked if it was consistent with the decision, but you didn't have to do it. So I don't see how that changes that one specific case whatsoever. And I guess then if I, you know, and what I'm looking for is something to say that with the decertifications of the 40 people over the last 10 years, that the word may in offering a suspension and with a standard of clear and convincing evidence would have changed anything.
Sure.
In other words...
And, Senator, again, the way I read this, excuse me, is that the second part of that sentence totally overrules the may. It totally takes may out of the equation. It says, what it does say then is that I may, I have the option,
right.
I can or cannot, but I can only if revocation is consistent with this other decision. So they don't care if I don't do it, if it's not, if the hearing officer says, gee whiz, we're going to uphold the termination, they don't care if I don't. It's my decision whether or not I want to revoke. But they're saying I can't do it. The may is overruled by the second part here that says I have to be consistent. The may, I would agree with you, Senator. I'm more, the may is the way the language is today. Today I have the option. I believe that sentence takes it totally away from me, the way I read it.
Senator Pasman.
And again, I read the word may as being discretionary, and I don't see that this inhibits your ability to exercise discretion. If the word was shall, then I would agree with you that then it would change your behavior. But again, the word may is about as full of discretion as any word in the English language. So,
I just wanted to ask you about polygraph tests, and you described it as castration with a dull knife, and yet you said the polygraph test has not been used in any recent cases, and so why would that be castrating your organization with a dull knife if it's not been used?
And I certainly don't want to give the impression, Senator, that I meant to say that polygraphs are not being used. Polygraphs are certainly being used. Polygraphs and any number of different truth verification systems out there. What I meant to say, what I tried to say was they have not been crucial to council decisions. We have not, because of a polygraph being given, we have not revoked a certificate. We certainly give pre-employment truth verification tests in the state. We certainly use them investigatively, but they have not impacted any recent council decisions on revocation.
Okay. Other questions? Yes, Senator.
I just have just a simple one here. And follow up on Senator Pasquin's statement. What if an arbitrator or a judge decides that they would reinstate a police officer? Does your council still revoke the certificate?
We certainly could. And again, it's
what
kind of
the rationale be? I'm just trying to figure out.
Senator, we see it as an apple and oranges kind of thing.
Okay.
The hearing officer is hearing a employment question. You know, was there some type of breach of employment standards? What we are considering is much, much broader. There are performance standards, there's value standards that we look at. To be a police officer in this state, you have to meet certain standards. And employment is a very small piece of the pie.
I'm going beyond employment. I mentioned a judge. I want to know if a judge said this, do you still revoke the certificate?
If the judge made a ruling in an employment situation, what they hear. They don't. Judges don't rule on what we do necessarily in these grievance procedures. It's two separate issues. They don't. It doesn't arise. What you're hearing in a grievance matter is whatever the officer did it violate the department rules or policy? It has nothing to do with our standards.
I just need a follow-up. One last question, just a question. I somehow get the impression you feel like we're interfering because we have a legislation before you because you want to be a standalone entity, and I appreciate that. But aren't you a creation of the legislature? I mean, If we're barking up the wrong tree here, I certainly like to know myself as a senator here whether or not we have the authority to do what we're doing through this legislation.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And like you said, we're very happy with the legislation you've enacted in the past. We think that over since creation, we think the legislation on the books now, today, is serving the citizenry extremely well. We see this as a step away from the services we're currently providing. Like I say, this bill, if you look at our mission and core services, which again is approved by the legislature, this bill guts that. So if you don't approve of our current mission and core services, this bill is the way to change that. If you approve of what our mission and core services is, I don't think it's compatible with this bill.
Well, and I just need to say this bill does not gut what you do. This bill provides some sideboards on what you do. Saying that before you convict someone and take away their license and convict, essentially say you can no longer be a police officer in this state and probably in many other states, that you got to do it with clear and convincing evidence, I don't think that's gutting anything that you do. I think that's a very rational approach. I think it's probably, quite frankly, the approach that you're using right now. Do you oppose that section?
No, Senator. Right now, we've certainly had discussions about this bill around the office. As you mentioned before, there's many standards of evidence. As you categorized it, the lowest standard is the preponderance of evidence for burden of proof. We see that as the standard for civil matters, and this is a civil matter, and so we see it, we're following the standard for civil matters. I'm not sure that, Senator, there are things in this bill that I don't necessarily disagree with. As a whole, I see it damaging, but would I disagree there's nothing in our current legislation that uses the words preponderance of evidence or clear or convincing. So you're right. I think right now we follow a very reasonable, gentlemen. Like I say, we have, and I'll use the air quotes here, taken 40 certificates over the last 10 years over thousands and thousands and thousands of officers. This is something that we don't take lightly. It's something that rarely happens. But we value the fact that if the city of Anchorage says we want you to decertify this officer, that we independently look at it and apply the same standards that we apply to any other case. And we want to treat everybody. We're kind of creating a couple different classes of officers here under this. Officers that belong to the union and have a certain grievance procedure they fall under, can go under, can avail themselves of certain protections. Officers that don't have that. So, I mean, right now, everybody's being treated the same. We value that.
Senator Passman.
You know, one of the concepts that I struggle with is it your belief that as a standalone entity that there is an appeal process from that? And, you know, kind of following up on Senator Kukesh's question, if a judge were to say, you know, your process was defective, arbitrary, capricious, you know, that type, you know, wouldn't you follow that?
Certainly, Senator. Don't let me ever give you the impression that I think otherwise. Today, the way the process works, as the paperwork comes into my office, I make a decision on it as executive director. I make a decision on a certain individual. If somebody along the line doesn't like the decision I made, they can appeal it to the board. The board hears it totally independently and separately, makes a decision. If somebody doesn't like the board's decision, they appeal it to the courts. And then they go, so there's a total appeal process set up. Don't let me, and we would, of course, go along with that. What we're saying is What this is doing is right in the middle of the process. If over here an employment decision was made, this bill is saying that we shut down what we're doing, we're done, and we follow this employment decision. That's the problem we're having.
And I understand. And again, that's when we get back to the use of the word may, if there's this ancillary or side process that's occurring, you may do something under Section 1, and then if you're already following as part of your internal process a clear and convincing standard for the burden of proof, how does that change in any way other than just the legislature defines that that's the standard, if it should be adopted, that we believe is appropriate for a full decertification process? In other words, I don't see, if you're actually following that, how it actually hurts you.
And again, Senator, I guess we're just agreeing to disagree on the reading. The way I 100% agree with you on the reading of the word may. I just read the follow-up sentence taking that authority away from you. I'm just reading it differently. I see that that second part there says it's only a may if we agree with the hearing examiner. If we don't, then it's no longer a may. I mean, that's. I guess we're agreeing to disagree how to read the sentence.
We've got another question from Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're okay, I'd like to maybe go to a different section of the bill.
You're probably
headed that direction.
Yeah,
anyway.
Please.
Okay. I'd like to get your opinion on including the court officers.
Yes, sir.
Do you agree with that?
We have no problem with that, Your Honor.
Okay.
Senator. wrong chair. Wrong chair. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know it may seem like a court of law here, but and so the village public safety officers are already included, correct?
The village public safety officers already fall under the Alaska Police Standards Council, if that's what you're asking. Yes, sir.
And I think the airport police, university police, and so now we'd have the court officers. Does that include bailiffs?
Senator, I'm not familiar with the definitions of the job descriptions. I can't tell you. Somebody from DPS could tell you. I cannot tell you.
Okay. I don't think the bailiff carries a gun, so I wouldn't think they would be included. You brought up several times that only 60 out of 3,000 have lost their license over a 10-year period. I mean, that sounds like a low number, and that sounds impressive, but I have no idea how that compares with other states. So I don't know if that's a good number or not. Do you know?
I do not know. I do not know. And like I said, of the 60, 20 were voluntary surrenders. I mean, we didn't even go through the whole process. So it's closer to 40 that we actually took and went through the process. To reach that level, of course, I mean, we're talking, you know, very grievous activity. But I don't know how it compares to. There is a nationwide organization that we belong to that follows those kind of things. But I don't know the answer to that.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's. If there's no other questions, let's move on. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Sexton. Let's go to Jake Metcalf. Jake, welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Mr. Chair, in the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 198. My name is Jake Metcalf. I'm Executive Director of the Public Safety Employees Association, Local 803. PSEA represents about 800 of Alaska's finest public servants. Our membership is made up of Alaska State Troopers and Court Service Officers at the Department of Public Safety, Anchorage and Fairbanks Airport Police Officers at the Department of Transportation, and Municipal Police Officers at Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, Fairbanks, Soldotna, Dillingham, and Unalaska Police Departments. For the record, and let me be perfectly clear to all the committee members, PSCA believes in and supports a strong, fair, and independent Alaska Police Standards Council. A strong APSC protects all Alaskans. PSCA believes police in Alaska need standards and a certification process. Police certification ensures that Alaska has well-trained, fair, honest, and trustworthy police officers. PSEA also believes and supports suspension or revocation of a certification if a police officer doesn't live up to the set standards. But with great power comes great responsibility. Suspension or revocation of a police officer's certification can end a police officer's career and cause economic devastation to the officer and his or her family. Therefore, any APSC decision to suspend or revoke a certificate must be based on a high standard of proof and with due process. SB 198 is a piece of legislation that gives the council additional tools. It improves their standards, and it creates a regulatory system that respects due process. PSEA supports this bill, and we ask the committee to pass it. I guess I would like to comment on a few issues that have come up with the bill. Section 1, we would agree with Senator Pascavan that that section, we believe, offers additional tools. It allows for the council to use a suspension process. We don't see that as a hindrance or a neutering of the committee. It just allows them to do something differently and doesn't leave just the stark contrast that they have now of allowing a certificate to remain or to revoke a certificate. As far as considering a prior decision, whether it's a arbitration decision or an employment decision by an employee that's not represented, those types of events take place. We think that the council ought to look at that because I can tell you from my experience as a executive director, when a person is terminated and they go through an arbitration hearing or some type of employment type of a hearing, the information that results in the termination is very thorough. The process brings out all the facts that have taken place to result in an employer's determination to terminate someone. And so if a board is going to revoke a certificate, we would hope that they would look at that and respect the actual factual determination that has been made. And as Senator Pascavan noted, the language is may, it's not shall. So as far as using clear and convincing standard for evidence, we think that that benefits the council as well. Currently, the standard is a preponderance of the evidence, and I think, Senator Wilikowski, you mentioned that there are three standards. That's the lowest standard. We're simply asking that the middle standard be used. That's the standard that most arbitrators use in an employment situation. And again, just to stress, when you revoke a certificate, you're taking away a person's livelihood. It's economic capital punishment. And so we do not see this as a hindrance. We think it's a supportive tool that the council can use. Just to talk a little bit about the court service officers, we represent those police. They're in the courthouse. They don't have any training officially right now. We think certifying them provides for training. They are similar to airport police in that they have a limited jurisdiction of the courthouse and they're similar to the university police. They carry a gun. They're protecting the courts and the people that use those systems. And so we think certifying them is a benefit to Alaska and protects all the citizens of Alaska. The lie detector test, I just want to be clear to the committee, we're not asking that pre-employment lie detector tests not be allowed. We think that that's a strong tool to use in weeding out candidates and asking questions. What we simply ask is that you support the sections of the bill that once employment has taken place, that the agency can't use the police officer's refusal to submit to a lie detector test in an employment action. That's under Section 5. Under Section 6, we would would support the part that makes those requests confidential and not part of the employee's records. And then in Section 7, I would note that the bill allows for the agency to publish a picture or information with the officer volunteering to do that. And just to give you a sort of an analogy, I've got children in the Anchorage school system, and every year I get a release form that says if the school district wants to use my child's picture in a publication, would I agree or disagree with that? And I can make the choice of whether or not my children's picture appears in a publication. And that's simply what we're asking the committee here to decide. It's not a burden on the department or APSC. It's simply a way that officers are protected in this day and age. And we would ask the committee to support this bill. And if you have any questions, I'm available.
Thank you. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Mr. Metcalf. You cleared up several concerns I have or questions I have. Again, I'm going to go back to the court officers. So they currently are state employees that you represent. They're just not certified. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, they are state employees. They're employed by the Department of Public Safety.
Okay. So they are adequately trained as police officers?
No. Through certification, they will be. There's a sort of a mixed bag. Currently, some of the CSOs have training. Others don't. Sometimes they get training through the department, but there is no requirement that they have training. And by getting them certified, they would then be required to have a certain number of hours of training. And that, of course, would be up to the council to determine how many hours they're required to get training. What we would foresee that taking place is those people getting training at the academy for the types of police work they do at the courthouse and make them better police officers in that situation.
Mr. Chairman,
yep.
I may, two follow-up questions. How many employees are we talking about then? I just haven't been in the courtroom for such a long time.
I'll give you an approximate number based on our membership. I think it's about 90, and they're in courthouses here in Juneau. Anchorage has the largest number of them. Fairbanks has a good number of court service officers. They're all over the state.
Mr. Chairman, so under this bill, you know, a lot of times these high-profile criminal cases, you see the court officers escorting out the prisoners. So the Channel 2 News or whoever would not be able to show that officer's face anymore under this bill?
Again, if that's the sort of situation where the officer is going to be in the courtroom and having a lot of time in the public eye like that, it's the type of situation where this would require the employer to ask the employee if his shot can be released, but there are also situations where, they're not going to have control over that. What we're talking about is a situation where there's a request or the department is actually submitting something. The officer needs to know that, and we would like the officer to be able to agree to the release of that information. I mean, it's like anybody else. If you're walking down the street and someone takes your picture, you don't get to control what they do with that picture.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I see it both ways. I mean, if I'm a court officer, I'm not sure I want my picture on the news escorting out this bad guy, whoever he is or she is. So, okay, thank you.
Sure.
And I'll just to clarify, if you're in public, you're you can take a picture. You can be on the news, and there's really nothing you can do about it. But what this does is it says if Channel 2 calls up and says, can you send us a picture of this guy, or if someone calls up and says, I want a picture of this arresting officer, if the officer says no, then it doesn't get submitted. Are you aware of threats or issues that officers have had?
I think that would be a better question to ask officers, and we're going to have them. I think there's officers behind me that are testifying. But I do know, for instance, up in Fairbanks, there's a case going on right now involving some militia folks that have alleged to have staked out and gotten information about Alaska State Troopers, judges, and other state and federal officials. And so there is concern about protecting privacy and information about where people live. And, you know, I know that officers have, especially in rural areas, I was a prosecutor in Bethel for a long time. And in a small community, you're oftentimes just not protected because everybody knows who you are. But there are, you know, instances where people have been threatened. And if we can reduce the chances of threat to public servants, that's something we'd urge the legislature to do.
All right, thank you. Other questions? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we have Chris Gifford. Mr. Gifford, welcome to the committee. If you could put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. My name is Chris Gifford. I'm the Municipal Chapter President of the Public Safety Employees Association. I currently work at the Juneau Police Department as a patrol sergeant. And I started my law enforcement career as a police officer in Hoonah in 1999. I support Senate Bill 198 because I support fairness, even in cases where a terminated police officer is facing the revocation of his police certification. Fairness and due process are essential concepts in our state and in our country. Senate Bill 198 would raise the standard of revocation for a police officer's certificate from a mere preponderance of the evidence to a clear and convincing standard. It simply ensures certificates are revoked from only those officers who are tainted or incompetent and who truly should not be working in our profession. I also support the certification of court service officers who are employed by the Department of Public Safety. Certifying those officers will benefit all Alaskans by providing professional standards for law enforcement officers assigned to our court buildings and charged with the safe transportation of the incarcerated persons in our state. We can't afford to be careless with the security of those incarcerated people. I'd also like to address the issue of the voluntary or consent needed for release of photos. Myself, I was involved in an investigation into a person's natural death in 2007. There was a family member associated with that death who was upset at the results of my investigation and specifically started a website into picking apart pieces of the investigation and posting photos of various people working in government throughout our city and the city of Juneau and the state of Alaska. I appreciate the fact that my department did not release a photo of myself to that to the person. He ended up using a cartoon image of me because he didn't know what I looked like. There have been other times when my department has wanted to release a photo of me, and it's been fine. I just appreciate being asked first. And if I were to find myself working on an accident scene or somewhere in public view, I understand that a news crew would. It's public view, and they can release that, and that's the right they have, and I accept that as a public employee. I thank you for the chance to testify today. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Okay. Next up, we have Jay Sears. Mr. Sears, welcome to the committee.
Yes, sir. Chairman Wilikowski and members of the committee, my name is Jay Sears, and I'm the Western Vice President of PSEA. I currently serve as a 14-year Alaska State Trooper. I've worked in Department of Corrections as a correctional officer. I've worked as a probation officer, so I have a pretty in-depth knowledge of law enforcement functions. I've been in law enforcement since 1985. I guess the first thing I'd like to say is I'm in support of every facet of this bill, Senate Bill 198, and it's very important. It corrects some of the issues facing our public safety employees here in the state. The biggest issue in the bill that I'd like to talk about is APSC certification, and basically it's your livelihood. It's the ticket that allows you to be a police officer, and it's not just, it doesn't just affect this state, it affects many states. Certainly in the law enforcement arena, if a state doesn't participate and finds out that you've been revoked in another state, chances are you won't even get the interview. So it does affect all 50 states. We are not in the business of keeping or protecting bad cops. We want them to go away, as everyone does. It makes us all look bad. But what we are in favor of is a fair process. And I'm not going to get out a dull knife or a chainsaw, as referred to in previous testimony, but what I am going to say is, you know, we face a double jeopardy here in Alaska with the APSC certification board, and that double jeopardy, I guess to make another referral, is like the hammer of Thor. We go through the process, our members go through the process where they file a grievance, they go through an arbitrator, they then are forced to go through the Superior Court system, then the Alaska Supreme Court system. In all of those venues, they hear all of the facts of the case, all the facts and the evidence that is allocated or charged or the members charged. And in all of those venues, they've awarded the members' job back, and then the APSC certificate board has their meeting and revokes their certificate, and we just don't think that's a fair process. We call it double jeopardy. I mean, that's a big term. There's only one place that I'm currently aware of in the nation where you can face a double jeopardy, and I've served in the military, and the military still operates with the double jeopardy system, and rightly so. The military has standards. If you break the law, you're punished through that jurisdiction, and then the military punishes you again. But we shouldn't be subject to that here in the state of Alaska. Our certificates are everything, and I hold an advanced certificate based on my training experience and education. And If I go through the process and I'm asked to obey all the rules and go all the way through the Supreme Court, I shouldn't have another entity be able to take that with a lesser standard of evidence, a lesser standard of decision making. It just doesn't make sense. And I'd also like to say in closing that we know this board is made up of competent individuals. We're not disputing that fact. I mean, many of these folks have probably more law enforcement experience than I do. I mean, you heard testimony that some of these, one was a 40-year police veteran. I'm sure Mr. Sexton's approaching 30 years or more. But I'm getting into that ballpark, and I don't think that, you know, an unfair system should be allowed to happen, and I would appreciate your support on the bill. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator, thank you for your testimony. Senator Geisel has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to figure out what's broken here. You know, passing a law means that something's broken and needs correction. So are you saying that an officer has gone through the complete process and been absolved by the Supreme Court and yet still lost their certification?
That's correct, ma'am. Through the chairman. That's correct. They still have an option to pull that. We currently are facing that situation coming up in the APSC May meetings. I can't speak to what their board meetings are about, but we have one of those cases scheduled in May.
Mr. Chair, so let me clarify the question. So What I asked is, has this happened? Not might it happen. I'm asking, has it happened?
I can't answer that. Possibly our general counsel might be able to answer that for PSEA, and also Mr. Sexton might be able to answer that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Other questions? And I will just say you are correct. The standard in employment law is typically at least clear and convincing evidence, oftentimes beyond a reasonable doubt in a discipline case. So someone could go through the whole process, be absolved under that standard, go to the Supreme Court, and then have to go before the APSC, and on a preponderance of evidence standard, lose their license, even though every single level, even the Alaska Supreme Court could have found them completely innocent, they could still take away their license. That is the way the law is currently.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Let's go to the off-nets. We have a couple other people signed up. Mark Mew, thank you for waiting. I know you're a very busy man. Put yourself on the record. Give us your testimony.
Thank you very much. This is Mark Mew. Last name is M-E-W. I'm with the Anchorage Police Department. I'm the chief here. I'm also a member of the Alaska Police Standards Council. And I had prepared originally to talk about Sections 2, 3, and 5. But after listening to the discussion, I think I probably need to touch on Section 1 a little bit, too. But before I get into the details of my impressions of these of the specifics of the bill, I'd like to just make a couple of general statements, and they've been touched on a little bit before, but I want to try and put some faces to some of these. One thing I think that any chief is concerned about above all else, and that's reflected in the attitudes and the mission of the APSC as well, is protecting the public trust. We operate as police officers because the public respects us, trusts us, and they let us enforce the law. It's very, very rare that we do something without the compliance of the peaceful compliance of the citizens, and we cannot sacrifice that. There are times when, against our best efforts to hire, attract, train, and retain folks, we get bad apples. It happens. A couple cases in Anchorage recently that everyone is familiar with are the Anthony Rollins matter, the Rafael Espinoza matter. These are folks that slip through that we need to have the tools to deal with. In these particular cases, I'm not sure that the matters in the bill were issues in those cases, but I'm just saying those are the kinds of things that we strive to keep out of our organizations, to prevent from happening. There are others that that you don't know about that, and perhaps we'll talk about them, perhaps not. I don't know exactly where the line goes between what is confidential and what isn't in this forum, so I'm going to have to dodge around some things, but I can perhaps talk about some actions that have happened in the past without naming people and agencies involved to demonstrate the types of issues that we've had the council has in the past had to act upon. But I mentioned Rollins and Espinoza just to show what kinds of things can happen to your organization when you do have people slip through the cracks, and the importance of keeping those cracks closed if at all possible. And I think this bill opens those cracks up, and that's why we oppose it, at least several portions of it. Going to Section 1, which I wasn't really going to talk much about, but I guess I better. I don't see a problem with the ability to suspend, as far as I can tell. I must say that I've only seen this for about a day, so I really haven't got my mind around it all that well. I don't know how often it will be used. I don't know how helpful it will be, but I'm not seeing on its face how it would be bad. Regarding the issue of the May, I think I'm confused now. And so I think we need to figure out what this means. And if we are forced to go with the decision of some other hearing officer, then I would be opposed. If we aren't forced to go with the decision of a hearing officer, I guess I'm fine with the language, but it seems we can't agree what the language says. So I don't know what to say about that. I think it needs work, or we don't know what position to take on it. Regarding the burden of proof, Section 2, preponderance of evidence is typically the civil level. I think it's appropriate to be there. Our attorneys here in Anchorage believe it's the appropriate place. We think clear and convincing evidence puts it up almost to the reasonable doubt standard. Counsel gives things the best consideration they can, and like every investigation, we strive to get the most proof possibly that we can get our hands on. So we probably do rise to the higher levels anyway in most cases, but there may be a time when the counsel will need to take an action and doesn't have quite that level of proof. I don't know that it's happened yet, but we think that the existing standard is probably the appropriate one. Regarding Section 3, I've listened to some of the testimony, and it seems that, to me, that there are parallel systems in many professions. A doctor, I could engage in misconduct, could be charged with some crime, be exonerated by a court, but that doesn't mean that a licensing board of physicians wouldn't look at that conduct and say, you know, we don't want that guy practicing medicine. And we don't care whether he violated a law. We don't want that person treating patients. And so we're pulling his ticket. And I think what this bill will do is essentially eliminate that ability, because the courts and the arbitrators will not always look at the conduct of the employee. Sometimes the employee admits the conduct. Most of the time the employee admits the conduct. The arbitrator or the judge may be hung up on a process issue that went right or didn't go right in the case. But the Police Standards Council has to look at how is that officer treating the patients. And if he's dangerous, that's the issue that comes to the mind of the council. And I think that's appropriate. I don't think we should be bound by a decision of an arbitrator who does not live in our community, who is making a decision on a process matter, and doesn't live with consequences if all the rest of this, if the bar is now lowered statewide and the new standard is now set, and so now we have to tolerate this conduct. And if we want to go there, I don't know. I wish I had an attorney with me that could tell me how far I could go with this, but I would give you some examples. I can think of two where the Alaska Police Standards Council has decertified, even though an arbitrator has returned an employee to service. One was in our department, one was in a different department, and I think the conduct is not, I think, what most people would say they want out of a police officer. I'll wait and see what the questions go with before I get into what that conduct might have been. Maybe there's someone there that knows more what I could say and what I couldn't. I would say, though, in response to something Mr. Metcalf said, I was involved in one of those cases as a council person, and I can say that the council does read the arbitration, scrutinized it, as well as other documents, and does consider seriously the ramifications of deviating from what an arbitrator has recommended. I also am aware of at least one case where the council has debated decertifying an officer who prevailed in arbitration, nearly did, but then reversed itself and ultimately voted to not decertify the officer. So it's not a rubber stamp. It doesn't happen very often. I can only think of three times in the last 30 years that I know of that the issues come up. Two times the decertification occurred, one time it didn't. There may be others because I'm not always in a position to know, and over the last 30 years haven't always been in a position to know what the council was doing. So there may be others besides that. Going to the polygraph, we believe that the ability to use to compel a polygraph is should remain a ability that police departments have. It is, I will agree with that, it is the nuclear option. I can tell you that as far as I know, I'm 99% sure of this, that in the at least in the last 30 years, it's never been done at the Anchorage Police Department. But that doesn't mean it's not an important tool. It is the nuclear deterrent. Everyone knows it's there. We don't take it lightly. We would use it only in the absolute most extreme case, but that case could come up. It would be something on the order of an Anthony Rollins case. Wasn't an issue in Rollins because we got where we needed to go in other ways, but that is the kind of conduct that we might need this tool for. And the fact that we have the tool available to us is probably figured in cases where we've gotten, where the employees cooperate and we get where we need to go in our investigations. So I asked the question, if it's not, as somebody else said it, I think, if it's not broken, why are we fixing it? I don't see that this is a problem. I don't. Maybe I'm unaware of what other folks are doing with polygraphs right now. We use them for pre-hires. We reserve the right to use them in investigations. I just don't see that we're doing it often enough that there'd be an objection, but perhaps perhaps other departments are doing it differently. So if Section 5 went, then Section 6 is a moot point, I guess. And I think I'll stop there and see what questions you might have for me. Thank you.
Chief, thank you for your time and for your testimony. Are there questions? Okay, I don't see any. Let's go to Thomas Robson.
Yes, sir.
If you could put yourself on the record, give us your testimony, and we've only got a couple minutes.
Okay, I will be quick. My name is Thomas Robson, and I have been employed as a court services officer with the Alaska State Troopers for the past 14 and a half years. I'm currently stationed in Anchorage. Prior to becoming a CSO, I served 21 years with the U.S. Army, both as a military police officer and also as a special agent with U.S. Counterintelligence. I'd like to thank the chairman and the members of the committee for allowing me to speak on Senate Bill 198 this morning. I would specifically like to comment on Section 4 of this legislation regarding the certification of court service officers. The training provided to individuals to become a court service officer has varied greatly over the past 20 years. This bill would ensure that minimum training standards are established and maintained for everyone that's employed as a CSO. Currently, there are approximately 60 CSOs stationed in 11 cities throughout Alaska. These officers are uniformed, armed, and employed by the state of Alaska, but are not subject to the certification requirements for law enforcement officers that have been established by the state. These 60 officers perform functions which are normally associated with a sheriff's department, but unlike a sheriff's department, these officers operate statewide. And in addition, these officers also travel to the other 49 states and even on occasion to U.S. territories to retrieve Alaskan fugitives from justice. The three primary functions of the court service officers are the transportation of prisoners, the service of court orders, and the security of the court facilities. The CSOs transport hundreds of prisoners daily to court hearings locally and throughout the state. To accomplish this, CSOs currently or routinely travel on commercial aircraft to various locations for court hearings and meet the federal standards for flying arm on commercial aircraft. In the service of court orders, it's included in that, but not limited to just this list, is serving subpoenas, summons, mental commitments, evictions, and warrant arrests within the court buildings and correctional facilities. And then on a daily basis, the CSOs provide security for the district and superior courts and judges throughout the state And in Anchorage, the court service officers also provide security to the appellate court and the Supreme Court. The passage of this legislation will ensure that the standards which have been established by the state for law enforcement officers are applied to these 60 state officers and that a high level of professionalism is maintained. I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
I don't see any questions. We've got Jeff Mittman. Can you do it in 2 minutes?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. We provided to the committee our testimony in writing, and what I will simply do based on the entirety of the testimony that's come before that touched on many of the points we raised. Our concern is just with the confidentiality provisions, given that there may be legitimate needs for members of the public to access some quote-unquote personal identifiable information of officers, for example, name, badge number, and photo. We would ask that the committee, and I'm presuming there will be amendments occurring, look at those needs and present a more narrow definition. With respect to the remainder of our testimony, I do refer the committee to our written submission, and I'm happy to work offline with members of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And then last witness, we've got Aaron Danielson. You literally have about 2 minutes. If we can wrap that up, I would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, thank you, Chair, for allowing me to speak on this. I'm Aaron Danielson, APFO officer up in Fairbanks, and also a president of our APFO chapter and vice president of PSEA. I've also been a majority of my comments in writing to the committee at a later time, but I do want to mention that the APFOs went through the same process of having this bill amended in the early 90s to allow us to have a APSC certification. And there was a question earlier from the committee about whether this was about pay. And as far as I know, talking to other CSOs, it's not. And while I have the same certification as the Alaska State Trooper, we do not get paid the same. We're under the same contract, so I don't believe that is a factor in this at this time. But I do support Bill Senate Bill 198, and urge you guys to pass it.
All right, thank you. Anyone else online wanting to testify? Seeing none, anyone else in the room wanting to testify? Okay, I don't see any. We'll close public testimony, and we're right at 10:30. We're going to set the bill aside. Yes, Senator Giesel?
I ask a really brief question. Yes. What organization is Jeff Mittman with? I just couldn't quite place it in my
head.
He's
with the ACLU.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to thank the committee. I know everyone's got busy schedules. We're going to adjourn at 10:30.